Good afternoon. My name is Sam. I'm from the Active Directory team. Just a little introduction about myself. I've actually strangely been in the Active Directory team since I started at Microsoft in 1998, all the way through Windows 2000, where we established the first Active Directory post 94 days. I've been around in the identity space for a while, and currently I drive a lot of both, like, for example, in Windows Server 2012, I worked a lot on dynamic access control. With Windows Server 2012 R2, I've been driving a lot of our aspects around BYOD, federation services, thinking about connecting up to cloud-based services. How does that, how to enable organizations to do that? So that's a little about myself. Now, I'm going to, before I jump into the presentation today, when you think about the world that probably was about 2 to 3 years ago, we enterprises focused a lot on really thinking about managed machines talking to services inside their environment. However, that landscape is changing quite a bit. Now, what is the world that we are dealing with today? How many of you attended the foundation keynote session of People-Centric IT? Okay, so there's quite a few of you. So there are a couple of slides I will repeat just to establish the right context before I jump into a few more details. This is a 200-level session, so I'm going to focus a lot on the overviews. However, we have two more in-depth 300-level sessions tomorrow, one focused on thinking about the web application proxy, which you might have heard of, and the other session is focused on what are the IT controls that organizations now have as a result of thinking about these BYOD devices, and I'll focus a lot in a lot of our investments in Active Directory Federation services. So let's kind of start. Now, a while ago, end users would essentially think about work as a clear separation. Work, you've got life, there's a work-life balance paradigm. This is rapidly changing, and for varying reasons. You see organizations have much more of a mobile workforce. They are always on the move. Now, as a result of being on the move, they want information in terms of the resources they access in their companies to do their work, especially think of sales organizations that need specific data. And all of these need to be available because this is data that kind of enables them to do their jobs more effectively. Now, we see that shift really kind of like the term that we think about it internally is work-life integration, where end users would like to integrate both the notion of their social as well as their work lives, where they have the flexibility. Like, for example, my wife travels a lot, and I have to go pick her up from her the airport quite a bit. Sometimes I have to wait a while. So as a result, sometimes I'm trying to kind of do work as I wait. The notion of being able to do that work is that flexibility that I have. And my company also gives me the flexibility to go at that point in time and merge these as much as possible. It gives me that flexibility and provides me the ability to be more effective. So we're kind of moving to a work-life integration paradigm where people want to be anywhere, be able to access the work resources that they need and do work. Now, the second key shift is about devices. How many of you have more than two internet-connected devices that you usually carry around? Wow. That is the world that we live in. There are two kind of key aspects. One is the notion of having a lot of devices and needing to have access to data in terms of my organizational resources from these devices. And the second aspect that has changed in the last few years is that typically, like at least from a Microsoft perspective, we saw a lot more heterogeneous devices come into the mixture of being able to access work resources. As a result, we call this consumerization of IT, bring your own devices. that's the aspect where you have, it's just not about Windows devices anymore. There's a plethora of devices. There's a plethora of form factors. As a result, application development is changing to evolve for that. So that's the next key problem when we are thinking about what does BYOD mean to us. Now, as these devices, as I was just saying, as these devices are evolving, the application environment to provide resources. Traditionally, we've had web it started with like Windows applications, like console-based applications. It moved to web applications. It moved to web services, talking to console-like native applications. Now there's a new paradigm in the application where it's a combination of browser-based applications, which is a good least common denominator across these various devices. But we also see a lot more of development towards like RESTful services, using things like and kind of building more thin clients that talk HTML5 to these RESTful services. So there's a series of, as you think about organizations, and thinking about users working from anywhere, as well as the fact that there are so many different devices that's out in the market right now that you at end users want to access work resources from, the application environment is also changing, where developers change the way in terms of how apps are getting built, both from CSVs, ISVs, as well as LOB application development within organizations. Now, finally, the last pitch pivot to this is about data. Now, this is all great from the perspective of user, device, and the notion of how apps get built. But at the end of it, data either resides on a server or on the client. Now, as you think about these devices, there's more and more concern in terms of how do you protect that data? How do you essentially provide the right set of controls in your organization to be able to say that essentially secure that data, either in rest or in motion, or the fact that someone has to answer from a compliance perspective on how are they protecting that data? Is it safe? What happens if a device gets lost, especially in the world of these personal devices? What can I do about it? Now, one of the key things that's kind of changed in the Windows planning cycle this time around is that we've really integrated. Brad talked about it in his keynote. We've really integrated the notion of thinking about planning from both a Windows server and System Center / Intune together. Because what this gives us is the ability to really think about as more of an integrated solution rather than just like Windows provides a platform and we have System Center that kind of wraps a solution. It helps us to think really about combining both the platform and solution to offer a single story to customers. Now, from the people-centric pillar, we've split it up into three key portions. The first is about really thinking about the productivity. It's about enabling end users to be able to do their work where they need to do their work and be able to kind of provide them seamless experiences as possible. Now, there's so many challenges sometimes end users face when trying to access resources. Sometimes, I remember one instance where I had to travel to India, and I had forgotten my smart card, which is what I need to get access through my VPN system. And I spent about, I'm sure there's equivalent stories out here, and I spent about 24 hours trying to, wade through the exception process in terms of how I could kind of get access and move forward. Now, I'm sure that there are similar set of experiences. So our focus in terms of approaching the problem is one segment was essentially about thinking about how across varying facets of end users accessing resources, how do we essentially establish the ability to kind of seamlessly access these resources from the plethora of devices that we have. The second key aspect when we think across, and this is a little more focused on our System Center Intune set of products, is as these devices happen, these could be corporate bought and managed, or it could be personal devices that you need to manage. How do you, as an organization, really drive towards more simplifying the management controls associated with these devices? You may have different set of policies across different set of devices. We've had a series of sessions focused on unifying the environment. Finally, it's about protecting the data. which is more about IT risk management associated with either securing the data, driving compliance initiatives across them. This is about protection, encryption, access control, all associated with that. Now, this is the whole picture. This is just my initial context to kind of focus on the rest, which is a little more on the AD set of capabilities. Now, let me just walk through it very quickly, is that when we look at our value propositions, it's fundamentally about just two things: enhance productivity of end users and drive the right set of IT risk management and controls for organizations to be able to meet their business needs. Now, when we looked at the scenarios associated with that, we split that across thinking about information workers and IT professionals. Now, from an information worker perspective, there are two kind of key things. Like I mentioned, one is about how do I get access from my resources from anywhere. And the second aspect was, how do I discover some of these applications? Like me as an end user, how do I know what applications that I have access to? What can I install on my device? Those are the things that we looked at from a scenario perspective about end users. Finally, from an IT perspective, we split it into three areas. One is about access governance, and which is where I'm going to be focusing a little more today and my session tomorrow, is how do we drive the right access management associated to getting access to a resource. The second aspect is about protecting the data, which is about data governance. So when you think about how do I drive, like, how many of you know about dynamic access control? All right. So all the notion of thinking about protecting data, like we just showed at the foundation keynote about how even with work folders, but using classification and dynamic access control, you can drive the right set of encryption, and it's always encrypted when the data is provided to the device. The final aspect, this is somewhere where we see things kind of differ across varying organizations, is the notion of how BYOD intersects with device governance. For example, there are a set of organizations, and I'd love to kind of get a quick show of hands. How many of you require the device to be managed to access a resource? How many of you believe that end users will not necessarily access the resource if they require the organization to be managed, to manage their devices, their personal devices? So we see a mixture of both associated with this. So some organizations want to say, hey, if you want to access my resource, you have to allow me to manage your device. That gives me the right set of controls. And there are a set of organizations who've gone down that path and said, hey, but at the end of it, my end users don't necessarily want to sign up so that IT organizations can go wipe that device or manage and enforce policies on their device. We see both sides of the spectrum. And the reason I bring this up is that because this shaped some of our thinking and some of our decisions. And I'll talk about that in a short bit. From an Active Directory perspective, I'm now kind of like out of the broader context and focused a little more on the Active Directory portions. So our first aspect is that when you really think about the world where we lived in a domain joined machine, accessing a resource inside the corporate, inside the firewall, this was seamless desktop SSO. That was a huge value for end users because they didn't have to go through the sign-in process. Now, with the context of these devices, we seem to have regressed back. I do work at Microsoft, so I work with about 5 to 6 devices during a course of a week. Now, every time if I had to, and we have a complex policy, password policy associated with an organization. Every time I have to sign in, typing my complex password on my phone or even my tablet to kind of take it out and then put it down and try to kind of type it in is a painful experience. And we've seemed to have regressed from that functionality. So one of our key aspects when we really think about BYOD is about providing more seamless sign-in experiences for end users on their devices. And how do we go about doing that? Given that a lot of focus from these devices or on HTTP applications, focus has been thinking around how do we drive this from a browser or a modern application talking to RESTful service model. The second aspect is that make sure that we can provide, at least from our perspective, a way for people to provide access to their resources, but still in a mechanism where we provide the controls to IT to kind of either tighten the security associated with providing this access or, for example, multi-factor authentication is a key aspect, and be able to kind of drive more of a policy-based access associated with these resources. The third aspect is that not only, this is a good segue. While we think about work from anywhere, there's an intersection. There's work from anywhere, which talks about access connectivity, and there's a connection. There's an aspect about how do we essentially grant access to these applications. Now, one of the traditionally how we thought about it was all based on the user. But that paradigm shift is changing, in a sense that we see more and more organizations wanting to restrict access based on a multitude of factors. It's not just about the user. It's about, for example, their strength of authentication. It's about the device. It's about the location where they come from. And even it is all of these factors essentially are on a per application basis, because the business requirements vary from global requirements to per application requirements that you need. So that is a core aspect in terms of, from a scenario, how can we provide administrators the ability to kind of use these pivots to drive access to the resources based on their business requirements. Finally, now, from an Active Directory team's perspective, we've always been involved in how do we, given Active Directory and Azure Active Directory continues to be one of the key directories within enterprises, how do we drive the app model? We started from an app model that started with LDAP programming. Now we're moving more to a RESTful model where we did a good job, compared to about 15 years ago, where people had siloed authentication. We moved that and kind of moved the externalized the authentication aspects of it from an application perspective. Now we are in the next shift in terms of application development, because in lots of cases, people want, there's a series of things. Your application may live within your firewall, inside your firewall, or it may be up in the cloud, either at a private data center or it could be a public cloud. Now, or, for example, your user might access from inside or outside. Or your identity might be an on-premises identity, or it might be a partner identity, or it might be an extension of your identity in the cloud. Now, there are so many different of these in terms of, and how do you build applications to suit that model? So one of the key aspects that we focused on across the Active Directory team is essentially how do we drive the right paradigms for developers such that they can satisfy this and you don't have to rebuild your applications. Make it easy for developers, both on a client application or on the service side, to be able to drive more to the business logic and simplify the notion of authenticating and how you can drive policies associated with that. Now, let me focus just to kind of solidify what I'm really describing. Now, from an identity perspective, I could be from my iOS device in a coffee shop accessing a company resource. Now, it could be resources that live inside my firewall. It could be resources in our cloud. It could be resources in a third-party cloud or a partner organization. So I want to be able to do work, whether it be, some application that I'm accessing. Think of it as, for example, me wanting to kind of, as I'm in my travel this week in Madrid, is that as we have expenses, I want to easily use my phone to kind of just be able to, take a picture of the receipt and be able to upload it and keep adding it to my expenses. Now, at that point in time, I then might shift and go home. and access these same set of resources associated on a different device, because it's different. It might be a home PC, it might be a Windows tablet, it could be a different device from that perspective. So it's those same set of resources that I want to access. Now, I go the next day to work, and all of these resources I need to go access. It's that same paradigm. The end user wants to have a common way in which they really think about doing this across the board. And when I move more to the IT admin value side, now, these are different types of policies that people, essentially IT, and these are just examples that I'm showcasing out here before I get to showing some demos and walking through them. Now, let's say that you have just subscribed to a cloud service, like your organization, and there's only about a smaller group of people that need to access this cloud service, and it is a secure cloud service. You don't want any random access associated with that. So a policy could be that only allow a subset of users from devices known to me is a type of policy that we think admins essentially would like to enable. And similarly, moving, and all of these policies associated are based on these applications, based on how I was talking about the notion of conditional access, whether you think about policies based on users, devices, location. I want to differentiate policies when I'm accessing from inside my firewall because I typically, there's a security process involved in me getting into my company, the physical boundary of my office. As a result, administrators think about the policies to differentiate. But so I can get unfettered access from inside the firewall, but hey, I want multi-factor authentication when I go outside. So those are the types of policies across all of these types of resources, because resources just don't live in a single place anymore. Resources live inside your firewall and in varying clouds, and in a world of collaboration, they live in partner organizations as well, who provide some of these services for your organization. So, refining this further to kind of move away from really thinking about the higher level scenarios, let's bring it down to more a key set of capabilities. Now we're kind of talking a little more from a technology perspective. What is it that we've actually done? So, first and foremost, we've added a notion of workplace join. Now, this is the ability for devices to be known to Active Directory. Now, what does it really mean? Now, what value do I get? There are three key benefits associated with that. The first is that I talked earlier about the notion of me having trouble thinking about signing in every time I type my password wrong. I usually get it wrong between one of the special characters that I have to use. This is the ability, because we know that it is your device, it is Sam at his iPad or his Surface RT, because we know that, we essentially can provide much longer-lived single sign-on sessions to a set of applications that's made available. Now, this is still admin control. Another key benefit for AD Workplace Join is the notion of what we actually do as part of Workplace Join is that once you Workplace Join your device, a certificate denoting the user at device relationship is placed on the device. So as a result, when you sign in, not only are you signing with your base AD credentials, you're also signing in seamlessly underneath the covers with this certificate. Now, from people who understand multi-factor authentication, these are two different factors. So if you have provided done the right provisioning, let's say with an alternate factor, multi-factor solution, this is your seamless MFA. It happens underneath the covers. The end users don't know much about it. So as a result, it is convenience for end users as well as security for IT professionals. Now, the third benefit is that once you know the fact that it's your device, there are so many things that kind of light up as a result of it. You can, as an IT, you can restrict access to resources only to workplace join devices. What does that mean? In some sense, when you're thinking about a work from anywhere and from the internet, this essentially gives you the ability to limit access to your resources just to devices that are known to you. We see that quite often being a key ask in terms of saying, hey, I don't want to, like, I'm always worried about, like, any random access for a class of resources, from especially when I expose it on the internet. How can I restrict it only to devices known to me? So this is essentially, because we know about the device, you can write policies associated with restricting access to that. Now, workplace join, I think I mentioned earlier about differentiating between where we've seen a split across organizations wanting to manage the device versus not wanting to manage the device. So as a result, when we did our planning across both Windows Server and in System Center, we really kind of split the concepts in terms of, so we have what we call the workplace join, or registration is another term that we use, is to denote only the aspect where an end user is making the device known to the organization. There are no policies that are enforced on the device as a result. But it gives admins the ability on the service side to essentially be able to provide more set of access to resources as a result, because they either know the device, provide single sign-on, and have security associated with seamless MFA. Now, the other side of the concept is what we call as enrollment. When you enroll a device, you can enroll a device to a device management service, like Intune, for example. And as a result, you as the IT could enforce policies on that device to do that. We see this work in conjunction. There will be organizations that only want one or the other as a result. Or it may be an organization that says, we have to augment that with a device management service story. Or an organization that says, I just want to, you know, at least be able to ramp up my security associated with these devices and provide better experiences for my end users. Now, I think, as I mentioned, I think this is quite, like, I've repeated this a few times, is that the notion of single sign-on is that we provide the ability to kind of have seamless sign-in experiences associated with this. Now, work from anywhere is an interesting concept. It's the way people approach it is varied. Now, you have a traditional VPN type of approach associated with, like, essentially enabling network connectivity. And one aspect of that network connectivity is also direct access that we provided. Now, that's a one way in which how people think about it. Another end of the spectrum is where people, organizations, do not want the data to ever leave their enterprise. Now, remote desktop services is essentially a great option associated with work from anywhere, being able to provide. And in addition, remote desktop services also have the ability to be able to cater to different form factors by the fact that you're not building the app without having to change the app environment a little bit. Now, in between, one of the key things we also see people saying that from these devices, I really think about an HTTP system. I don't want to provide unfettered access into my network from a VPN perspective. You do see VPNs more on a per-app VPN evolving as well. But it's mainly HTTP applications that I want to selectively publish to my end users. This is where we have established the notion of a web application proxy that provides, that's in a, it's a role service under remote access, and provides the ability to selectively publish HTTP applications or RESTful services to your devices and the internet, and be able to authenticate them with Active Directory with all the set of policy mechanisms that I just described. So that is something from the perspective of work from anywhere. I'll be talking more about the web application proxy. Another key trend is, from a devices perspective, is that like 90% of our customers, the aspect of really having strong authentication is a key driver, especially because it also tends to kind of be driven out of their compliance perspective. Now, one of the key things from an Active Directory perspective, and now traditionally we supported X509 authentication. However, there's so many different multi-factor authentication providers. We see phone-based systems, like voice-based systems, which I'll probably demo. And we see people using SMS, people using an email type of a multi-factor authentication. People use hardware tokens, soft tokens. There's a plethora of mechanisms by which people want multi-factor authentication. Traditionally, we've not done a great job of integrating with all the other types of systems. Now, this is something that we continue to kind of invest in, and you'll see some of our support associated with this in a few minutes when I demo this. Finally, it's about multi-factor access control. You see us evolving across, both in the traditional Active Directory from a domain controller perspective and in Active Directory Federation Services. We started with the notion of claims. We put that into Windows, even in curb tickets. We moved that. We continue to evolve that even in this release. We focused a lot on the Federation side as we thought about devices. We put in the notion of devices as well as the notion of being able to detect location and be able to provide that type of functionality to admins. All of this context then can be now be encapsulated in a policy based on your business requirement. Finally, one of the key things is that from an Active Directory Federation Services standpoint, to support these RESTful service applications, we've added support for OAuth, which is a common pattern. And you'll see us across the Active Directory, both Azure Active Directory, on-premises with ADFS. We essentially support a common model in which a developer can build within the same libraries, both on the client side and the service side, and it works seamlessly both for an on-premise system as well as the Azure Active Directory system. So that kind of is a more of a trying to drive the simplicity in being able to integrate Active Directory into applications. All right, now I'm moving on to my demo. So for my first demo, I am going to, actually before I shift, let me. My demo environment is fundamentally split in this way. I have a couple of applications. One is a Windows integrated application. This is your run-of-the-mill application that someone has deployed on IIS that use Windows integrated. There's quite a few of them out there. The second is a claims-based application. This is more of a test application just to kind of showcase all the data that's available within the context, within the tokens to drive more of an intuition. Now, a key part is in this release, we focused a lot of the device story associated with the notion and use a device registration service that drives being able to provision certificates onto Windows 8.1 devices or iOS devices. So that's something that we have, and we put that functionality into Active Directory Federation Services. Now, a key aspect of that is that we do not require you to move your domain controllers up for this support. You just require to move ADFS or Active Directory Federation Service to Windows Server 2012 R2. However, you need a schema update into Active Directory to support the notion of device objects. A standard question is, when we provision the device object, we also provision an object into Active Directory. Now, because this gives us the ability to kind of store the state, be able to drive information. For example, we can track when we log in. Every time you log in through one of those devices, we'll be updating the logon timestamp associated with this device object. Finally, you have the new component that I talked about, the web application proxy, which is a role service under remote access. In the end, Windows Server has a comprehensive edge server where it combines VPN, direct access, as well as web application proxy to provide the necessary edge-based solutions for organizations. So this is my environment today. Now let me switch to my iOS device. So I'm going to start off by trying to access that Windows integrated application. It's built using ASP.NET MVC template. It's one of those simple things. Now, the first thing that you notice as part of doing this is that I'm accessing from, think about this as me accessing from the internet. Now, it hits the web application proxy. The web application proxy doesn't know about me. And so as a result, it says, OK, I'm going to externalize my authentication to Active Directory. In this case, it's Active Directory Federation Services. And this is the page that you see. So one of the key things is that you will see a lot of changes in Active Directory Federation services where we provide more enhanced sign-in experience controls. Like, for example, these pages will adapt automatically to the different form factors. You know, people call it responsive design. In prior versions, you had to really think about, like, doing all the code yourself. All of this is handled out of the box as we think about devices. Similarly, a lot of this is customizable. And right now, I've got an illustration. And just to showcase that point, I am going to just quickly change some configuration on my server to show you all right, so I just changed some configuration on the server side. That was just by PowerShell. So if I, there you go. So just to illustrate the point associated with, you know, being able to, it's as simple to be able to drive better sign-in experiences for end users and customize it to the look and feel of your organization. So let me log in. Let me see if I get my password right. All right. So the first thing that, you know, this is something that we showed similar to what you saw in the keynote, which was a SharePoint application that Brad or Adam did in Brad's keynote. So this is saying that, hey, I'm trying to access this Windows integrated application. I haven't made any changes to that application. But I've been able to kind of write the policy associated with how I get to access this application. And this policy says that you need to access this from a workplace joined device. It has to be a device that is known to the organization. And as a result, you're seeing a customized message that came in through the sign-in experience for this application telling the end user what to do. Now, in some cases, you want to keep a generic and obscure message. In some cases, you want to drive the right intuitive feel for end users to do. It's because in a lot of cases, people know what they need to do. Like, as long as you tell them what to do, you know, that reduces how you think about perhaps a reduction in your IT costs. Now, in this case, it tells me I have to do a workplace join. And on Windows, it tells me what to do. And on iOS, it gives me a link out here. So since I'm an iOS device, I'm going to click on that link. Now, as part of doing workplace join, now remember I mentioned earlier the notion of think about this as a seamless multi-factor authentication. Because you've got a user, you've got a certificate. That's like two factors. And as a result, but when you really want to think about multi-factor authentication, we really recommend that when you provision this, you use an alternate multi-factor solution where it's a one-time action associated with being able to provide this piece of data. Now, this is where the aspects about multi-factor authentication comes in. Now, this is an experience that's still driven out of ADFS here, but it is the experience is being delivered by a third-party provider. Here, a third-party provider is Phone Factor or Windows Azure Active Authentication, as we recently called it. And all of the aspects around the lower portion of the page is actually being delivered by an extension, which is a third-party provider in this case. In my session tomorrow, I'll show you another implementation from a third party that's not Microsoft as well. It's a fairly easy way to integrate this. So let me make sure my phone is up. Okay. Let's see, it's still connecting. Okay, so now I've hooked this up to make a phone call. Hopefully I should get that. Yep, there it is. Okay. Is the audio? All right, I'm just gonna, okay. Oops. I didn't click it on time. So So let's try that again. Let me just... See if that goes through. All right.
Thank you for using Microsoft Sign-In.
There's a delay somewhere.
System. Press the pound key to finish signing in.
Let me try that again.
I'm sorry. We cannot sign you in at this time. Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system.
Hopefully this goes through. Yep, there you go.
You have been signed in.
So what happens at this point in time is that for iOS device support, we essentially have used iOS's over-the-air profile support to be able to deliver a certificate. Now, you see the fact that once we delivered that payload in the iOS device automatically knows to do the right things. It transitions into its settings to be able to do that. So now we're delivering the workplace join profile, which will be able to provision a certificate. And it's actually doing a certificate request and a response associated with that. It's a form of the SCEP protocol, for those of you interested. And as a result, you can see that we have completed the profile installation. Now, let's just cancel this for a second. So if I go back to my settings right now, you can see the workplace join profile. This was, if I went into general profiles, there's a workplace join profile associated with that. Now, if you look inside, there is an aspect of a certificate. And provided by the issuer is the device registration service within ADFS itself that issues the certificate associated with that and is able to kind of consume that. So this is the ability where we can provide that support both in Windows client devices as well as iOS devices. Now let me quickly move back to my application which I was denied access before. So let's see. The same. This is the first time that I'm logging in with my workplace join device. I'll kind of explain a little bit on the single sign-on aspects as well. So hopefully this will be the last time. Now, finally, previously we were denied access because you weren't coming from a workplace join. Without changing that policy, we went through the aspect of being able to join this iOS device to Active Directory. And as a result, I am now gaining access to my Windows integrated app that never changed. It was built, deployed, it's still inside my firewall. I haven't changed that, but yet I've been able to kind of drive the right set of policies through and be able to expose it through the web application proxy and provide the right set of access control to this application. Now, just to look at this is that we've added the Who Am I application, a link to the Who Am I application right here. And if you notice, it's a seamless transition over. This is a distinct app. This is another claims-based application. And we were able to kind of provide, have that single sign-on session where you just jump from one app to the other, and we provide a seamless kind of experience to do that. Now, there's a set of data about my users, but the most interesting thing is some data about my devices, my device itself. So in this case, we have the notion of a registration ID, which is more of an immutable ID for that user and device relationship, the credential associated with it, the fact that in this case it's not a managed device, it could also be a managed device, and the fact that it is registered to me, or rather John Doe at contoso100.com. So all of this data, like all the aspects, you see some additional data out there, which is about the request context. The fact that right now you see an IP address, which is my outbound IP address that came into when I was authenticating. And as a result, we can actually use these types of data to drive policy decisions. So it's about the user, it's about the device, it's about the network location, and it's also based on how I authenticated that may help kind of drive those decisions. So that concludes that portion of my demo. So let me switch back. Any questions on this so far? Yes. The question is, when I added the iOS device, was there an object created in Active Directory? Yes, there are two things that happen as part of a workplace joined relationship. One is that we provision a certificate onto the device, which represents the user at device relationship. And the second is we provision an object in Active Directory as well. It is different from a computer account because it's not the security principle associated with the computer account, so it is a distinct object. And that's why I mentioned that you need to upgrade your schema to Windows Server 2012 R2 to enable AD Workplace Join. Yes? Windows Server 2008 or higher. Okay. Oh, the question was, what version of domain controllers do we need to do that? And it's Windows Server 2008 or higher. Okay, back to my presentation. So when, just to provide a little more of the intuition, like when we think about Active Directory Federation Services, we think about it as an authentication head that supports some of the modern protocols, thinking about the internet-based scenarios and on top of Active Directory domain services. So that kind of provides more of the reach into different types of apps, into different types of environments associated for Active Directory. Now, traditionally, we've kind of focused a lot on thinking about, there were a few of these scenarios that we've focused on. One is the notion of claims-based applications in your LOB app development, the scenario about being able to access resources in partner organizations. One of the key drivers for Federation Services was SharePoint, which is a collaboration platform. Now, there are lots of cases where people want to access a SharePoint, like people in one organization want to access a SharePoint in another organization, and they don't trust each other at the Active Directory domain level. Federation enables that to be able to collaborate across that. Now, from a Windows Server 2012 R2, we've continued to kind of expand that notion with being able to really think and support more of these devices. Now, from that context, this is about workplace join. It's about driving to the sign-in experience that caters to that form factor. It's responsive design. It's being able to provide those types of capabilities to end users, the SSO associated with that. And finally, one of the key aspects is that when we think about the proxy and being able to, we've also now taken a new set of resources that inside the firewall, be able to expose them through the web application proxy and support and drive the right set of policy associated with being able to kind of access these resources. So this is a little more of a summarization of workplace join associated with, it's a key association of the device to the user. So for example, we think of iOS as a single user device. We think of Windows as a multi-user device. From a core concept of how each of these OS think about it, that's a key driver for us. So in a Windows device, when you're using multiple, like my wife and I have different user profiles associated on our tablet. Now, that is, you can join both these users at the same time on that device because the relationship is more about a user at device relationship. So it could be John at Contoso's on his Windows RT, as well as Jane at Fabricam at the same Windows RT. So that's the ability of being able to focus more as a user at device relationship that we drive. Now, moving forward. Now, the notion is that the spectrum of devices used to be, hey, it wasn't managed, known to me and not managed by me, and it's a domain joined device. We've now focused and we've put a spectrum, like a pivot in the middle in from a workplace joined perspective, where we start from a limited access, no IT control, to moving forward to being able to have a device that is known to you, and as a result, you can drive the right access governance associated with providing access to resources. And finally, to a domain joined device, which a company fully owns and is managed by IT and has more access associated with the resources. So now, recently, as we've discussed with customers as well, is that there's also one between the workplace joined and the domain joined, and that's the workplace joined and managed, which is another a point where IT thinks about, hey, these are my types of devices and how I think about categorization and how I provide access to these resources. Now, from a work from anywhere, as we've discussed, is that there are kind of three different ways you think about it on the right. You can think about it as remote access, which is thinking about VPN and direct access, where you enable network connectivity. You can think about it now with a web application proxy in Windows, being able to provide access to a set of web application and web browser-based applications and RESTful services, and being able to drive the right set of policy controls with them. Then finally, you can think about it as providing virtualized desktop services or virtualized desktop interfaces and remote desktop services to be able to provide a virtualized interface into applications that just live on the within your data centers. Now, from a web application proxy perspective, we have a session that's going to be done by Shai out and Avi out there on that side. And we'll be having a more detailed session that's focused on the set of capabilities. But at a high level, I think most of you understand an HTTP proxy. It provides the ability to be able to expose these applications inside your firewall. But the key things is that we've enhanced the support more thinking about how policy is done, how SSO is being done, how you're protecting based on workplace joined devices, and there are additional security benefits from the work web application proxy that we have in terms of kind of keeping it secure. Now, web application proxy integrates fully with ADFS for all the multi-factor authentication. You just saw something with phone factor, or it could be a third party. So it has that level of capabilities to drive a seamless experience, yet a policy-driven experience to manage risk. So that's the focus from the web application proxy. Now, I'm going to move on to my next demo, and for this demo, I'm going to move over to my Windows client machine. So this is a Windows client that hasn't been joined to my workplace yet. Now, one of the key aspects is, so I'm just going to clear up some policies. Okay, let's try to. Now, for the Who Am I application that I have, I don't necessarily have a policy for workplace join. I don't have any conditional access because I've just essentially, this is an app that we use to make sure that we know like what the context. It's been very helpful for troubleshooting as well. So let me try to go access that application. So let's say John Doe again. Now this is the application, and now you see the fact that there's no device claims because this device is not workplace joined yet, so it doesn't provide the ability. But at the same time, let's say assume that I had to kind of close this application, and I, you know, next day I join, and you know, I try to access this application again. I go through the same experience. I have to keep typing my passwords. And I'm going to focus a little more about how the workplace join enables that seamless sign-in experience. So let's now try to join our device. And to join our device, in Windows, we provide a more native experience, which is available in the modern settings. So it's available in the network section of PC. Now, the reason why is that we have already the notion of connecting to a home group, which is a network in some sense. This is about connecting to your workplace. So from that perspective, we have it there, and you have the workplace section. Out here, all I have to do is provide my organizational account. Now, as you see here, there's a key difference. You see there are two aspects, there are two things. I explained we separate out the notion of thinking about join, which is just association of the device and making a note to the organization and the management portion of it. Where we in the foundation keynote, we showed both those experiences, where you joined and then you enrolled for client management services as well. So that gives you the full spectrum of the entire solution that like we offer in terms of being able to think about devices. I start joining. Now, a bit of more inner geeky details is right now what you see out here is actually the OAuth usage within the Windows, the modern settings itself. So this is about here ADFS and the Windows client essentially using OAuth protocol to be able to actually go through the join process. So what you see out here is a standard Windows notion of what's called the web authentication broker for modern applications in the Windows client. So you have a way in which, even from these modern applications, you can use a web broker to be able to collect credentials. What that gives us is the ability to drive experiences more from the service side. You don't need to adapt, make your apps have to kind of write the code to kind of go build credentials. And this can all be driven on the service side. And as you saw, the fact that I changed my illustration just to give the right sign-in experience and my logo all gets expressed. And so policies can change more on the service side and without having to impact the applications themselves. So I sign in. Let me sign in. Actually, before I do that, so right now you saw workplace join requiring phone fact. I'm just going to take that out because there was a delay there. So this is the ADFS MMC console. And right now you see per app settings for multi-factor. And right, I've got unregistered devices or coming from the extranet. I'm just going to remove that out and go back to my client and join it. And that's it. The same experience, I just changed the fact that I changed my policy on that specific resource, which is the device registration service itself. And I said, hey, previously it required multi-factor authentication. I just removed a few things, say that if I'm, you know, I don't need multi-factor authentication anymore. And you saw the same type of experience where I signed in, but now I'm already joined. Now, as a result, what's happened is that I've got a certificate provision onto my device. Now, let me go back and access the application that we just saw. This is the first time I'm signing in. Now you see the same application, now we have a set of device data. We've already done underneath the covers, we've gathered the certificate, we validated against Active Directory. And the reason why we validate against Active Directory so that we can enable better protection for lost devices, which I'll go through tomorrow. But the key point that I wanted to showcase was that, okay, let's say I close my application again, and I try to kind of access the same application again. And I don't have to sign in anymore. So the fact is that this, because it's a device that is known to me, I now have the ability to kind of seamlessly access these resources based on an admin-based policy. Now, the second, if I went in and changed that to, say, let me go to my Windows app, same type of experience. It's a seamless access to this resource. Finally, let's assume that I am going to leave the workplace just to showcase some of the security features associated with this. And it's as simple as leaving. And now let's finally try to access the application again. What you noticed was that as soon as I left, the fact that the certificate wasn't presented anymore immediately revokes that seamless sign-in experience. And as a result, you now have to provide a fresh set of credentials to get access to the application. So what you saw was that, hey, I had to constantly provide credentials. I workplace joined and I provided my credential once, and I got seamless access to the resource again. And then I left my workplace, and as a result, that level of seamless access is gone, and I have to provide my set of credentials again. Finally, this is just an aspect of trying to kind of express this a point that I made earlier. We now, with the aspect of workplace join, the multi-factor authentication, the notion of being able to drive policies associated across a wide range of apps, browser apps as well as these modern applications that use RESTful services, you now have the ability to derive the appropriate policies associated with criteria based on user, based on device, based on network location, based on the strength of authentication that you've done. All of that is now possible on a per application basis, whether it was a Windows integrated app that you just published through the web application proxy and integrated, that was integrated with ADFS for driving the appropriate policy controls, or it was a claims-based application in the case of Who Am I. All of this functionality extends, it doesn't matter, in terms of these cloud-based applications that enable these federation technologies as well. So you could be going to a third-party cloud service or Office 365. Those types of policies essentially, any application that is integrated with Azure Active Directory. So you can essentially drive these types of controls associated with devices and be able to have your end users join, get benefits associated with single sign-on, and as a result, IT also benefits from all of these additional controls that's provided by that. Questions? We have, I'm just on time. Yes. So the question was, if I stole the device, the certificate from one of the devices, moved it to another device, would that be feasible? There are a few things in terms of protections that we have. One is the notion of, by general, we don't allow, when you provision the certificate, we don't make it exportable. Of course, if you were like a really good hacker who could like root the system and then be able to kind of get access, you can always do that. The second thing is that this is a little more of a nuance here, is that the device is more of a user at device credential, but it is more of an, it isn't a credential on its own. It is an augmented credential with the user's credential. So in the case you did get to a non-exportable cert and be able to kind of go place it onto another device, you would have to also be able to augment with the same credential. If those credentials don't match, and if you were a different person, still a valid person, but a different person within the organization, we would not trust that. Okay? Any more questions? Yes. We have the ability for one user, one device from the perspective of how an OS thinks about a user, but a user can have multiple devices. From a registration perspective, I mentioned that we create these objects in Active Directory to represent these devices. By default, we have a quota, which an admin can control how many devices an end user can register. That's something that's available. Another key thing that is different from how traditionally you've thought about computer management within Active Directory is that you manage how the lifecycle in terms of cleaning up, deleting. So one of the things that we have from a device registration perspective is because these devices come and go, is that you have the notion of being able to auto-scavenge. So every time that you log in, we will update the timestamp. And if by default, I think it's if you haven't used it for 90 days or something, it's admin controlled, the directory will, we will automatically, the device registration service will auto-scavenge the objects that are older and haven't been used in the last 90 days. Any more questions? Yes. Yep. Yes, the device registration service is the one that does the question was, is the scavenging done by AD itself or ADFS? In this case, it is the device registration service that is in ADFS that actually performs the scavenging associated with that. But it uses, of course, the fact that it lasts longer on time. It's an indexed attribute. We do the necessary query magic associated with that. Yes?
On a device where you have multiple users accessing, for example, a Windows device, do you only have one single user?
So the question was on a device where you have multiple users like Windows. Windows has the notion of having different user profiles, and each user profile has their own certificate store associated with that. So as a result, when you have two different profiles, they are actually unique in a perspective from Windows. No. Any more? Sorry, can you? So the question was, at a bare minimum, what is needed to do this? The only thing that you need is the new version of Active Directory Federation Services in Windows Server 2012, the web application proxy in Windows Server 2012 that lives under the remote access role to provide the extranet view in terms of publishing these resources and providing controls, and a schema update to Windows Server 2012 within your forest. Yes. Server 2012 R2. Sorry? So that's a good segue to my next slide. So we have a few more sessions. So one of the things is that we've also have work folders, which you saw in the keynote as well as in the foundation session, is to be able to kind of also, work folders has the ability to link up with standard Windows authentication or integrate with Active Directory Federation Service. What is the advantage with Active Directory Federation Services and the web application proxies? It makes that available in a seamless fashion outside. It provides the appropriate controls that we discussed, where I can think about workplace join devices, I can think about SSO. There are different aspects associated with that, and you like location-based controls. All of that is provided by Active Directory Federation Services. Now, in the 333 session is one that Shai and Avi out there will be doing that's focused on the web application proxy, just really thinking about what it is, what it means, how does it run, and how does it work, is focused on 333. And 334 is where I'm really focused on the IT controls. I'll be more like, okay, how do you control authentication? How do you control authorization? How do you think about lost devices? Extranet soft account lockout. Those are all set of IT risk management controls that we've had for securing access, and I'll be covering that in 334. That's tomorrow morning at 8:30. And 333 is at noon? noon tomorrow. Yes? Is the workplace join available for OS X? Right now, the only devices that we support are Windows 8.1 and iOS. However, I think I think people should be. We've opened it up really thinking about heterogeneous devices, and there are a set of devices that are fairly wide in the market. We will constantly be investing to really make sure that we have the right set of coverage for those devices. So people ask questions about Android, OS X, there's a series of things. Android is kind of interesting because it's very fragmented for certain types of things, so it's an interesting paradigm. OS X, iOS was actually pretty easy for us to actually work on and kind of drive the right intuition. So, any other questions? So at the session tomorrow, I will be there at the Ask the Experts today, or at the session tomorrow, I will go through more details. So if you have more technical questions, feel free to bring them up either at the Ask the Experts sessions or at the sessions tomorrow. All right, thank you.